Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello, and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up with all the news you should know about. Today, the college basketball world is talking about the University of Scranton. The women's team had a surprising win over the weekend. And we'll learn more about microgreens in the latest edition of Plant People. It's Thursday, November 20th. Let's get you up to date. So before we get to the basketball court, we'll start off in Lackawanna County. Lackawanna County's commissioners formally introduced the county's 2026 budget on Wednesday, but that wasn't the big budget news. They also set new tax rates for the budget based on the county's reassessment. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has more.
The Lackawanna County commissioners formally introduced a 2026 budget Wednesday with new lower tax rates. That may sound like good news, but the new rates get applied to new higher property values developed during reassessment. Still, setting the new rate means property owners can finally calculate if their taxes will go up, down, or stay about the same next year because of reassessment. To figure if your county tax is going up, down, or staying about the same, first you have to find your last property tax bill, then multiply the new tax millage rate by your new assessed value and divide that by 1,000. Then compare that number to what you paid on your last tax bill. You can find more information about that on our website, WVIA.org. Local Lackawanna County towns and the Scranton School District will set their new millage rates before the end of the year. Other county school districts will set their new rates next year when they work on their new budgets. The expectation is about a third of property owners will pay more in taxes, a third will pay less, and a third will pay about the same. I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. That can all be a little bit confusing, so make sure to look for that full story at WVIA.org. All right, now let's hit the court. Normally, you would think that Division III basketball teams aren't supposed to beat Division I opponents. The University of Scranton women's team didn't believe that on Sunday, even though ESPN gave the Royals a 0.1% chance of beating the University of Pittsburgh. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more from practice this week.
Scranton entered Pitts Arena as the underdog and left with an upset and the attention of national media and new fans.
I think we were all just so excited about this opportunity because it's just an awesome one and definitely one we're going to remember forever.
That's guard Megan LaManna, who had 11 points in the 69-63 victory. Scranton has become a powerhouse in women's basketball, winning 10 straight landmark conference titles. They've amassed a record of 85-6 over the last 3 years. But Division III basketball rarely gets the attention that Division I programs receive. News of the upset spread quickly. Head coach Ben O'Brien called the experience a whirlwind.
It's been very exciting for our team, for our program, and for our university to get recognized the way that it has over the last few days. So we're very proud of that.
On Tuesday night, the Royals started practice with running and high-speed passing and shooting drills. They hope for another bid to the NCAA Division III tournament this year, after making it to the Elite Eight the last two seasons. The website d3hoops.com ranks the Royals number 2 in the country. Players hope to build on the experience in Pittsburgh and to have new fans follow along.
We're just taking it practice by practice, game by game.
Reporting from Scranton, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sarah. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
Hi, I'm Julie Sidoni, Director of Journalism at WVIA. We're inviting you to be part of something truly important, strengthening the future of trusted local journalism in our community. Through our Newsmatch campaign, we're working toward a $125,000 goal by December 31st, with special opportunities available throughout the campaign to help your support go even further. Donate now at wvia.org/match, and thank you.
Welcome back. Now let's step off the court and into the garden. Plants harvested after just a few weeks have become increasingly popular for their health benefits. In our latest Plant People feature, a gardening segment from WVIA, Haley O'Brien visits Pocono Organics in Monroe County to learn about microgreens.
This is WVIA Radio. I'm Haley O'Brien. Welcome to Plant People, an occasional feature from WVIA News, highlighting community gardens, gardening tips, and inspiration. While growth is known to take time, there is one method of gardening that doesn't require as much patience. Microgreens take just a few weeks to grow. In a greenhouse at Pocono Organics, microgreen manager Elizabeth Agee is growing about 15 varieties.
From the broccoli to herbals to beets, we just keep trying new things based on what different chefs and different clients are interested in trying. We're growing them for fine dining restaurants, grocery stores, and wholesale distributors.
The tiny plants are harvested after just a few weeks. That's when they have the most nutrients.
Microgreens are basically just like the microcosm of the plant. So they hold all of its like nutrients, all of its like trace minerals, and all of that stuff that it's going to become in its tiniest form. So you can get like the same amount of nutrients that you would get from eating a cup of broccoli from just like, you know, a quarter cup of microgreens.
A lot of people don't know about them, but they're just nutrient powerhouses.
Ashley Walsh founded the farm in 2019.
Once it gets past the microgreen phase into like a seedling that you would transplant out into the field, the nutrients that are in that just get diluted. So it's the most concentrated nutrients that that plant will ever have.
Now, microgreens can be grown in a greenhouse. AG says they can also be grown at home.
We try and keep it around 75 degrees. So a normal household, you could typically grow microgreens as well. They just can't handle the extremes, like the really hot or the really cold. If you have like a good like south or west facing window, you can maybe do it. But otherwise, you would probably want to look into grow lights.
And this fall, Pocono Organics started offering broccoli microgreen powder, packing the nutrients into an even tinier form.
We got a value-added grant from the USDA, so we were able to bring freeze dryers in-house to keep our farm workers working year-round. So we grow the microgreens, we freeze dry them, powder them, and package them right on site.
The powder is sold at the farm's market, online, and to buyers, including baby food producers and vitamin companies. Formulation technician Matt Woolman says the biggest advantage is that it lasts longer.
We typically could easily get a year of shelf stability out of this once it's been freeze-dried.
A quarter teaspoon of microgreen powder equates to one serving of the full-grown vegetable.
And you can add it to soups and smoothies, and I put it in my son's waffle mix, and it doesn't change the color, and he can't really taste it. So it's a great way to sneak it into people's diets, whether it's somebody that's malnourished or our kids that are picky, and being able to slip it in without them really knowing and elevate the nutrients that they're consuming each day.
We have a video with this full story on our website at wvia.org/plantpeople. Reporting in Monroe County, I'm Haley O'Brien, WVIA News.
Thank you.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the day. Find more of these stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. So glad you could join me today. We've got one more show this week, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss a beat. Have a happy Friday Eve, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.